This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
I think that in the culture we live in, the generational progression that we're experiencing, another way to say it is, I don't know if our young people even know what the anointing is. I'm not being negative. I'm just saying. How many of you know what the anointing is? Raise your hand. Now, put your hands down, please. Be honest. Close your eyes. How many of you don't know? Raise your hands. Okay, thank you. The anointing can be defined in many ways, but number one, it's a person. It's the Holy Spirit who represents Jesus Christ, because Jesus is Messiah, and it means the anointed ones and his anointings. The anointing is likened unto oil. The oil is smeared. It is and has power to heal, to deliver, to set free. The oil of joy, the oil of gladness. The oil represents Holy Spirit. That anointing oil was anointing placed on David's head, King David. It set him up above his brothers who were far more capable in the natural. David had been rejected, but Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit look on the inside of the heart, not the outside. And his anointing, his enablement, his empowerment, his power to bless, his power to heal, the anointing for prosperity, the anointing to be blessed, the anointing for finances, the anointing to heal the sick, it all comes from that same source, Jesus and the Spirit of the living God. It is God coming on you natural to be supernatural. It is his super on your natural. It is what I can sense in the room when my little girl gets up to sing, and she begins to sing a song, and there's an anointing that sets on that song and flows through her. There's an anointing on the whole group, but when that added dimension comes, I know I need to hurry up and get in here because God's about ready to do something. It is him. He will teach us all things. The anointing will teach us all things. Anointing is what draws you here. Would you rather be there? The anointing comes in the room. It's the healing anointing. When Oral Roberts would walk into a room, an auditorium, Lester Sumrall sat in the front row with Rob Parsley, his young protege. And Oral Roberts, unbeknownst to them, they were sitting in the front row for 20 minutes before service. Thousands of people were coming in. He didn't even know he was there. And he said to Rob Parsley, he says, the healing anointing just came in this building. He didn't even know Brother Roberts was there. In less than 5 minutes, Brother Roberts came out and sat down and took his place on the platform. Because you can carry the anointing for healing. And it's different than any other anointing. That's why they said it's Jesus, the anointed one, and all his anointings. You know the beauty of that is? He said, greater things than this shall ye do. For I must go away, for I'll send another who will cause you to do more than I have done. He gave all the anointings of God were resident in Jesus. But when he left and went to heaven, he gave them to all of us. And together, we have all the anointings. The anointing is Jesus. Power, love, plan on humankind. Moving on me and through me to touch you, to touch you. The word coming out my mouth The words coming out her mouth, coming out their mouths, moving through their hands. You can say what you want to. When you're anointed, you play differently. How many of you want the anointing? Oh, Father, we ask for your anointing. Oh, we worship you. The anointing is not just for preachers and singers and musicians. It's for teachers. It's for moms teaching their children. It's for dads going to work. It's for entrepreneurs who are making money. It is for wisdom to turn here and to go there. I'll teach you how all things. I'll teach you where you need to go. You can cause us to avoid accidents and to walk into miracles. Oh, the anointing. You teach us all things. Even if I'm alone and nobody wants to help me, I have no need of anyone to teach me. Because you're here, you can teach me all things. Doesn't mean I don't learn from others. I'm teachable. But if nobody wants to help me, he's more than enough. Hallelujah. The anointing can catch you up when you're far behind. He can pick you up like he did Philip and transform, translate you from one place to another. He can move on you and you can literally run faster than a chariot. You say, well, that doesn't happen today. How do you know? But is it enough to know that he can take your life and accelerate it in every area you need accelerating? And take you supernaturally faster to where you need to be than you could ever get in the life you have remaining. Say it with me. It's never too late. Because I have the anointing. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. You can be seated. My title is coming on that board right now. There it is. Offense or promise? Offense or promise? Which would you rather have? Hallelujah. Sweet baby, you do whatever you feel led to do. Matthew 24, 10 through 12. How many of you give me a minute to build a foundation? The rest of you, what are you going to do? How many of you give me a few minutes to build a foundation? Okay, thank you. I think I'm a little loud. I don't know. Daniel, you can help me out if I'm, because I can get loud. I know that. Matthew 24, 10 through 12 in the Amplified. At that time, many will be offended. Say offended. And repelled by their association with me. You hear that? There's coming a time when it won't be popular to serve Jesus. You could be tempted by the offense and the tribulation that you go through to back away from him. And many will fall away from the one whom they should trust and will betray one another, handing over believers to their persecutors, and will hate one another. Many false prophets will appear and mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, the love of most people will grow cold. And he's talking about the church, the body, not sinners. Okay. So you need to be aware that offense, no matter how small, can lead to something that is not productive and is anything but godly. This is a sign of the end times. Turn me down just a little. Many will be offended. It means to stumble. The word offense means to stumble. It comes from the Greek word scandalizo, which means a stumbling block. Jesus became the chief cornerstone, a stumbling block to those who didn't believe in him. Jesus came and offended the world. If you're a part of Jesus, you're going to offend the world. So you're going to have to know how to deal with offense, but not just from the world. You're going to have to know how to deal with offense when you're doing good and the church turns on you, or people in the church turn on you. But you have a choice to make. Do I choose offense or do I choose the promise? Good. I'm here to tell you today that the scripture is resplendent with the word of truth that says, if you endure temptation, if you endure the spirit of offense, if you reject the spirit of offense, great reward and blessing is yours and comes your way. Thank you for that overwhelming response. Scandalizo, which means a stumbling block. You've seen the little box, only it can be an iron cage, and it's stuck up on a steel rod, and inside is the bait. Scandalizo is that same picture. The steel trap is there. It's a box, and there is a steel rod holding it up, and there is bait. And when the prey comes in and goes in the box, the enemy or the hunter pulls the steel rod from, and the box falls, and then there's entrapment. That's what offense means. It is a trap set with bait for you to take the trap, that if you take the offense and you're caught in the middle of the offense, it will imprison you and it will cause you to be offenses, little offenses, not unlike a splinter or a hangnail. I weigh about 260 pounds in my heaviest. Well, maybe a little more. I don't want to go there. It's very, very sad. Big man, I get a hangnail, and I'm doing fine. Hey, yeah, you know, I'm playing football. I'm doing this. All of a sudden, I go, ah! And I go to the ground. That little hangnail can put a big man on his butt. Little offenses. Like splinters or hangnails, sneaky painful. Little offenses, they start little. Say, start little. The bottleneck traffic causes you to rise up and say, hallelujah. I'm stuck here for an hour. Praise the Lord. No, it's you. God help the person who crosses in front of you on 5 o'clock traffic and cuts you off. You give them a sign of the one way. Jesus loves you. People who are in that traffic jam offend you. The neighbor's lawn or yard or the garbage cans he refuses to put up until 3 days later. Oh, that's me. Hello? Starts working on you. Little offenses. The preaching on giving. He's always talking about giving. Hello? Why don't he ever preach on grace? He's always preaching about sin. No, I don't preach on sin any more than I preach on grace. You're just sinning more than you're not. He's always talking about my sin. Really? Yeah, like God woke me up and says, that's his. I don't think so. They add up, and then they become more than a little. Until you finally find yourself crossing the street to avoid talking to that guy. Because when you see him, he reminds you of how stupid he is. He says stupid things. He says things that just irritate you. And then you go to the place where instead of just saying, you know what, oh, that guy, he's such a case. I just hope he don't say hello to me. It's the little foxes that begin to spoil the vine. Until finally, I see him, and he's saying something that's it's just unnecessary. And you see him coming, and you go, Say smirk. You're offended. And then you get to the place where you're thinking, you know what? This guy, he says something for the fourth time in a week. He says something that just irritates you. It just, you know, maybe he's just being him. But then you give it this. The rolling of eyes is the beginning of criticism coming out your mouth because it's already in your heart. Well, I wouldn't have come if I'd known he was going to talk like that. Oh, that's not all. But then One time while you're rolling your eyes, he turns and sees you roll your eyes. Now he's offended or tempted to be. And then there's this back and forth. I hope you're listening. Are you listening to me? I am not serving with that guy anymore. He just hasn't got a clue. Hello? I have had people leave the church over the fact that we let guitar players play that the other guy who'd been there for 10 years just knew they don't belong on the platform. They were offended. I said they were offended. Musicians are the easiest to be offended with other musicians. The only other thing that's worse is builders. You get a builder and they say, oh, isn't that good? And they go, well, no. I've never met one. I mean, the ones who are quiet, they think it, they just don't say it. It's a natural thing called comparison. I wouldn't do it that way. But there is a difference. If you wouldn't do it that way, you say, well, you know what? That's not how it should be. But if it gets into your heart, it's the smallest irritation. And how many of you know this could go into any field, any vocation, any situation? It could be who cooks better than you, or, you know, everybody brags about their cooking, and you're going, you know what? I don't think it's so hot. You're tempted to be competitive because you feel rejected or inferior. Hello? Say offense. Little things. Now, this guy, he's seen me roll my eyes, and so he starts saying, hey, fat boy. Oh, just kidding. And I go, I'll kid you. Little things. It escalates. Say it escalates. And then he says something to your wife. Now he's dealing with something. Oh, really? I'll break you. Snap. Now, there's some of you big enough to do that. But there, you know, I found out it doesn't matter about size. When frustration becomes anger, and anger becomes resentment, and resentment becomes bitterness, and bitterness becomes dislike, and then dislike becomes unforgiveness, and then unforgiveness becomes rancor, and rancor becomes hate. And it started with a little offense. Why does it escalate? Because if you don't fix that thing now. Say now. If you don't get it while it's in its infancy, it's a seed, it's putting down roots, and it's going to bring a harvest. I don't care what the devil tells me. If he tells me, you know what, you don't need them. Or you know what, you're sick. That little thing is going to get you. It's whatever it is, I have learned to do this. No. Take charge over it. Say resist. Say resist. First Peter 5:8-9. Be sober, well balanced, and self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all times. That enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. He's fiercely hungry, but he's not fierce. He's just a liar. He is a deceiver, and he's a tempter. When we get to heaven, we're going to look at him, and we're going to say, that's you? He's not big. Hell is not the capital city of the devil's kingdom. It is a place created by our Father for him and his wicked angels to be forever done away with. There's no contest between my Father and the devil. It's like a boing. But he has a free reign over this world and the prince and the power of the air to tempt, deceive, and lie. It's up to you to say no. It's up to you to say, I resist this. But resist him. Be firm in your faith. 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be firm in your faith against his attack. And become rooted, established, immovable, knowing that the same experience, listen to this, immovable, say immovable. Oh, come on, say it like you mean it. Say it like he's going to kill your grandchild and you've got the power to say no. Say no. And that's all it takes. But you better do it the moment you get the roll eye syndrome. Because one leads to another, and now you've got five instead of one. And you cannot have faith when you are offended. You cannot have faith when you are critical. You can overcome the criticism, deny it, rebuke it, and say, in the name of Jesus, I call things that be not as though they are. I may have a critical spirit that comes against me and tempts me, but I tear it out of my spirit, in my soul, in the name of Jesus. I resist it, and it has no right to stay. I tell it to go. You got to believe you can tell it, and you got to want to tell it, because if you want to, you have the authority. Come on, help me out. You know what? I never did anything I didn't want to do. Well, I go to work every day and I don't want to. No, you want to go to work because you don't want to starve. I didn't say you like work. I said you went there because you chose to. Want to know the truth? I don't have to sin. I want to sin. But just because I got the want to doesn't mean I have to. Are you listening? Jesus had the want to, and if you don't believe that, you just don't know the word. Jesus had the want to inside of him to sin, but he wouldn't let it stay inside of him. He told it, you don't belong here. I am not of you. I am of my Father, and kicked it out the door. If you want to, you can say no. How many of you want to say no to the devil killing you? Say no right now. No! Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Treat it as if it were deadly, and it will go. I've been in buildings when the devil came to me and came with a symptom and says, you're dying. And showed me in my body where the symptoms were and reminded me what a doctor had said to me. And he says, you're going. And I have literally embarrassed the devil, not me. And I've been in a bathroom in a public place alone and says, no. And people came in and said, what's wrong? I said, nothing. And walked out. The truth is, I was scared, I was shaken, but I didn't let the devil see it. And guess what? I'm still here. Hallelujah. In the middle, say in the middle. In the middle. In the middle of a trial, in the middle of a lie, in the middle of a temptation, in the middle of every symptom, in the middle of every contradiction, you have the right and you have the desire. You can say no to the devil and yes to Jesus and praise him even when what you're believing for has not manifested. God honors that faith. Of course you're not where you want to be, but I'm not going back to where I was. Hallelujah! I'm not going to stand still. I'm going to walk. I'm going to go forward. If I take a step back, I'm taking two forward. God honors everything in its infancy. So does the devil. He'll honor your infant steps towards offense, but my Father will honor my infant steps towards purity and freedom. Say freedom! Freedom comes to those who say no and resist because they know that the persecution, the temptation, the attack, and the lie is short-lived compared to Jesus. Is that you? That helped me. That's you? That's him? I let him do that to me? You can do it right now. Your Father said that greater is he that is in you. Kick him in the Hyundai. He's been kicking you. Resist him. Be firm. Become rooted, established, immovable, knowing the same experiences of suffering are being experienced by your brothers and sisters throughout the world. You do not suffer alone. You are not the only one being attacked. I love it. I got 6 minutes. Oh, gosh. Thank you. You and I will be here for 2 hours.
Anybody ever see the movie Black Hawk Down? I don't think I've ever seen it all. But there is a place in it where they're going to rescue comrades that are being attacked by a drug lord and different things. So they're going in, and while in the middle of rescuing them, said they all got shot up. And so they're going to have to retreat, and they're going to have to evacuate, rather. And so the colonel is there, and he's saying, get out, get ready, you pick up that gun, you get over here, you help him, you. And the guy standing there, he says, now come on. He says, you get in the truck and start driving. He says, I can't. He says, why? He says, I'm shot. He says, dummy, we're all shot. Shut up, get in the truck and drive. You know what I want to say? If you're wounded and you've been attacked and you've been offended, you're not alone. We've all been attacked. We've all been wounded. We've all been offended. Shut up. Get in the truck and start driving. Hallelujah. We are not alone. We are never forsaken. Hallelujah. Oh, shut up, devil. I'm getting in that truck and I'm driving to heaven. I'm driving to Jerusalem. I'm driving to victory. I'm driving to purity. I'm driving to healing. Oh, somebody help me today. I'm driving. My husband's healed. My wife is healed. My body's healed. My children are healed. My church is healed. Hallelujah. Oh. Well, I don't know why they got to stand on that. They have to stand up. Are you offended? If you have been where they've been, you be standing up too. They found out if I praise him from the middle, I get the blessing. I get the promise. It ain't over until my Jesus says it's over. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said praise his name. This little lady right here, she'd been through hell. The devil tried to kill her, and she hasn't always been perfect, but look at her now. She lost a son, but she's gained the Christ, and she's winning other people to Jesus. Get in the truck, shut up, and start driving. You want to get back at the devil? Shut up, get in the truck, and start driving. Lift your hands and praise him. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh. Jesus said, it is impossible that no offenses should come to you, but woe to him through whom they come. You're going to be angered. You're going to be hurt. You're going to be taken advantage of. And that's why you're in the church. Somebody's going to get mad at you when you're in the kick room taking care of evil little Jerry. Say, my little boy, Jerry, he says, you made him mine. She says, guilty. Well, I'm never coming back. Well, I hope you will, because Jerry needs Jesus. He needs a demon cast out of him. If you bring him back here and I keep making him mine and keep loving on him, you know what? He's going to be fine. He's going to outgrow whatever got in him, because you know what? We love you, and I'm not going to get offended. You may be tempted to. You can get offended at God. You can get offended at me. You can get offended at your wife. You can get offended. It's everywhere. But the Lord said, I love this. Listen to me. He said this. I read it once, I think. Oh. Hold on.
Hallelujah. Oh, yeah.
My son was here right now. He might be embarrassed. But he's not, so I'm not embarrassed. You embarrassed?
No. Preach.
I got a lot more to say, but I want you to hear that. I just can't quite quote the scripture. Hallelujah. After you have suffered for a little while with offense, with attack, with lies from hell, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, you don't even have to deserve it. He gives it because he loves you. He saw you were going to be in the mess you were in before you ever got there or got yourself there. He doesn't want you to keep failing. And some of it is not your fault. Some of it is just attack, and yet you're overwhelmed. But the Lord says, if you'll resist and stand and get in the truck and drive, the God of all grace who imparts his blessing and his favor, who called you to his own eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself complete you, confirm you, strengthen you, establish you in your destiny, making you what you ought to be. If you refuse offense. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Oh, hallelujah. Some of the things that have been coming at you, the Lord knew it was coming before it ever came. Because opposition develops your character. I don't go for this stuff that says, well, if I'm going to be greatly used for God, I've got to greatly suffer. You know what? You may suffer in terms of some temptation. You may suffer in terms of some criticism. The Lord says tribulation and trouble and persecution's coming. But he says, oh, the blessing is you're going to own houses and lands, and you're going to see the sick healed and the dead raised, and your family's going to serve God from generation to generation to generation. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. But I don't go over this stuff. If I do something for God, I'm going to get killed. That's a bunch of baloney. God does call some people to be martyrs, but they're not worried about it. Martyrs, when they're ready to go, they say, I think this is the day, and they're glad because there's an anointing on them. The anointing is so good, it can cause you to want to live in the Philippines when you'd rather be in Palm Beach. In fact, you'll be miserable in Palm Beach if you need to be in the Philippines. And you'll be happier in the Philippines than you could ever be in Palm Beach. Somebody lift your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. Hear this. And the island of New Zealand, and I'm hurrying, I got two things I want to say, this and one other thing. On the island of New Zealand, 41% of all the fowls of the air, the birds on the ground, 41% of all the birds in New Zealand cannot fly. And yet at one time, they all have wings. You know why? Because there are no predators for birds in New Zealand. There are no snakes in New Zealand. I'm moving. Figure that. There are no coyotes in New Zealand. There are no bobcats in New Zealand. There are no wolves in New Zealand. There must not be too many big cats.
So what that means is the prey, who is the bird, has no predator. And therefore, they don't need to fly to escape. So if you don't have anybody coming against you, you won't develop the wings that can cause you to fly high like an eagle. Now, I qualified it. I didn't say if you're greatly used of God, you're going to greatly suffer and your kids are going to die. That's a bunch of crud. Are you listening to me? The blood and covenant of Jesus says I don't have to put up with sickness, disease. Somebody say amen. He may come against my family, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that comes against me in judgment, I will condemn. What does that mean? No, I resist you. I hope I haven't offended you for being on the chair. When an airplane takes off, the pilots want to know which way is the wind blowing. Because they want the wind to blow right in the face of the plane. Because there's something called lift. That when the engines plow against the wind that's coming into them, it causes lift to take place. And that thousands and thousands of tons of plane, when the winds against them, when the winds of life are against them, it causes them to rise higher, faster. Anybody want to rise higher, faster? Anybody want to go higher, faster in the time you have left? How many of you want to rise and let the light shine? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 King David, excuse me, young shepherd David in the scripture, he was the last of seven boys. When Samuel came to anoint one of the sons of Jesse as king over Israel, you know the story, he went through all six sons. He says, "This all you got?" They were mighty specimens. They were warriors. They were completely prepared for war, decked out in armor, buffed, cut. But the Lord says, "These are not the ones." Really? "Do you have another son?" He says, "Well, yeah. I've got this ruddy-faced little guy." Little guy. Say little. Little is much when God's in it. I don't even know if that's scripture. God takes the foolish things to confound the wise. God says, don't despise small beginnings. Are you listening? He says, "I got a little ruddy-faced guy out there." He says, "Bring him in. Bring him in." The first thing David had to realize was, and pass this test, the opposition that was coming against him. Do you see now, according to the hindsight of history, that God had a plan for David? And by the way, where was David? He was alone and forgotten, not even considered. Not even considered. That's his first test. His first test was, you know what? They didn't even consider me. He could have been offended. But he didn't. And you know what? When you're alone and you think you're forgotten, that's exactly where you can get to know who God is. When David thought he was alone and forgotten, what did he do? He knew who God was. He praised the Lord on the harp. He praised the Lord on the lute. He worshiped God, and the anointing came on him, and he knew how to protect his father's sheep. He killed the lion with his bare hands. He killed the bear with his bare hands. That still messes with me. Does that mess with you? He killed him with his bare hands. I've seen a bear close up. Their toenails make more noise than my kids when they're pounding on pavement. He killed it with his bare hands. He knows he has anointing power.
and yet he's been passed up. Say offense. It's not when you're doing bad you'll be tempted as much to be offended. It's when you're doing everything right and you're tempted to compare what they've chosen over who you are. I know I can preach better than him. I know I can sing better than him. I know I can organize better than him. You know what? You get ready. You're going to be out there in that desert until you get alone with God and love him and love the people who he chooses over you. Oh, shut up. Get in the truck and drive. So he comes. He comes. And Eliab is saying, what are you doing here? But Samuel takes the oil. And I love what the scripture says. In the presence of his brothers, the oil, the anointing for kingship poured down over David's head. And two chapters later, Eliab and all of Israel is out there, and Goliath is killing everything that moves. And David comes bearing cheese. Cheese. He's a cheesy little guy. And he walks up there and he says, what's going on? I said, this giant, he's killing everybody. He's got all the king's warriors, all the king's soldiers, and the king's petrified. Really? What? He says, we're trying to get a champion to go out and meet him. He says, well, what's he promising? He's promising up to a third or whatever it was of his kingdom. And his daughter, have you seen her? He says, where is she? He saw her and he goes, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that comes against the armies of the Lord God? What's the child say? What's the title say? Offense or promise? David says, you know what? I can be offended here. He could have, because when he says, you know what? Who is this son? And Eliab, his oldest brother, he says, it made him mad. He says, what are you doing here? Why aren't you back there taking care of those few sheep of my father's? Hello? Those few sheep. I know why you're here. You're arrogant and you're haughty and you're full of pride. Sounds like to me he is. You know what braggadocio and arrogance and competition comes from? A spirit of rejection and a spirit of inferiority. And he said to him very simply, and I got to hurry. I'm still good with time. Here's what David did. He says, what have I done now? Watch. He says, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason for someone to go out there? And then he did this. He turned away from his brother and went and asked someone else, is there not a cause? You know what that showed me? He could have taken umbrage at his brother. He knew he was righteous in his plan and desire to deliver Israel. How many of you believe he already knew, I'm going to go out there? How many of you know the Holy Spirit prepares you for what you're about ready to do? And surely he was in the field. He knew. Hey, I felt it. There's an anointing to come on you. Would you know I'm about ready to do something in the Spirit, by the Spirit, by the direction of the Spirit? And I know, I don't know why, but I know I've got the power and authority to do it. He could have turned on Eliab and says, come on, let's take care of business right now. What did he do? He turned away. Say, offense. Or promise. And you know the story. God anointed David, and Eliab had to watch. Hallelujah. 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 Some of you have been hurt. Your pride, your honor has been wounded. In service of the church, if it hasn't, you will be tempted for it to be. You can get offended at God. That's another message I don't have time to preach. Why did this happen? I want to preach about that. How many of you would like to hear it? You can get offended at your neighbor. You can get offended at your mom, your dad, your son, your daughter. You can get offended at anybody, your boss. It doesn't matter. You can get offended. But there is a place. David sent two of his greatest warriors to a man called Nahash's funeral. His son was the new king. He was manipulated and influenced by those who saw these two mighty warriors who came with no weapons just to honor King David's friend, King Nahash, who had died. And they bought the lie that those two men were sent there to spy and to destroy the kingdom of Nahash. You know what they did? They took these men who had beards, mighty men of valor. Okay. It looked like Damien. Stand up, Damien. I don't mean to make a show of you, but it's exactly what I'm going to do. Those men, they came unarmed. Well, he's armed. See, he's got his Bible.
Come on now.
Okay. Yeah. Never lay that down. Hallelujah. Yeah. Mighty men of valor. Unarmed. You know what they did? In the old days, your beard was a sign of honor. A sign of honor. You know what they did? They cut their beards off. They couldn't go anywhere. They'd be shamed. Who took advantage of you? You let them take your beard? So for weeks, they knew they were doomed. They would lose face. They would lose influence. And you know what else they did? This is pathetic. They took, turned them around, cut a hole in their pants and their underwear, and exposed their buttocks. It says, now, and everybody laughed at them. I know that's kind of, you want me to illustrate with Damien? I think he'll pick up that sword and let me have it. Thank you, Damien. You know what happened? They sent them back. I think I need to get to this point. I know I'm a little over. Just help me out. They went back and they were humiliated. They were humiliated. They were tempted to be greatly offended. How many of you would have been tempted to be greatly offended? You know what David did? He said, go to Jericho. You know what Jericho means? It means sweet fragrance. Sweet fragrance. He says, I want you to go to Jericho, and I want you to be sweet. I want you to resist pride, resist anger, resist offense. I want you to resist the lies of the enemy that says you can never be restored. Word will get out and you will be humiliated. You are through. I want you to resist wanting to kill those people and take hands into your own matter. Take matters into your own hands. He says, because as I said before, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, and the tithe belongs to the Lord. Those two things belong to him. Don't you touch them. David knew. He says, you stay here. We're going to mend your clothes and mend your hearts. And we're going to give you covering. You know what we need to do when people are hurting and when they're down or when they've made mistakes or when they've been humiliated? We don't need to expose them. We need to take them to a place of sweetness and tell them to get mended. And we need to cover them and we need to love them and then we need to restore them. Somebody help me here. Does anybody need a place called Jericho? Oh, yeah. And he said, we're also going to let your beards grow. And they did just that. You know what David did? He told Joab, he says, get a group of army together. He says, and he sent them to the house of his former friend who was dead. And they annihilated them all. He said, well, that's harsh. Let me tell you something. God's vengeance is so complete that he'll do a far better job than you ever could. But he'll do it righteously. How many of you would like to see God totally destroy all rape in the world? How many of you would like to see God destroy all forms of genocide in the world? Let me see your hands. How many of you would like to see all forms of child molestation wiped away? Annihilate it. That is what God is saying. Vengeance is mine. In fact, it'll be so strong that you'll actually go, whoa, Lord, whoa, whoa, that's enough, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
If you're here today and you've got any form of offense in your heart, what I think the Lord wanted to do is to show you the etymology of how it begins. Don't underestimate it. Don't be afraid of it, but don't tolerate it. Because today you have been given a key and a way. Go to Jericho. Get in the truck. Shut up. Get in the truck and start driving forward towards Jesus. Go to Jericho and let him heal you and renew you through his word. Restore you through his love. Teach you faith through his timing. You're in the middle of a process that isn't manifested yet, the promise that God's promised you. Keep loving, keep serving. He brings to pass all good things. He's a good God. And then begin to offer up to him, Lord, I give you the root of bitterness. As every eye is closed, and every one of you who have sensed a root of bitterness of any sort against anybody, against any situation, against God himself, I want you to just say, Father, I know it's bigger than me and it's destructive to me. And I give it to you now. And by faith, I pull it out of my life and I give it to you. I don't want it anymore. And I say no. Now, Lord, restore me even to the relationships of being around people I formerly despised, and I am not affected. Teach me to forgive, because when I forgive, I'm free. They're probably already free and could care less, but Lord, I want freedom. And when I'm doing good in the middle and offense comes, I say no. I get in the truck and drive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God, 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 praise God. Praise God, praise God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But now I'm found, once blind, but now I see. Father, forgive me for my sins. I receive you into my life as Savior and Lord. Wash me from all unrighteousness, unforgiveness, anger, resentment, and offense. I give it to you. I place my trust in you to get me to heaven and to take me through to my destiny of victory. I'm getting in that truck and I'm driving. You'll heal my wounds and take me to the holy place, to where the glory will arise on me. I praise you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.